Book of John, chapter number 6. We're going to begin at verse number 5. John chapter 6 and verse number 5 says, "When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Where are we going to go to get food for these people?" And he said this, the Bible says in verse 6, to prove him, because he knew what he would do. Can I just tell you, God doesn't come into a situation without understanding what needs to happen. He asked Philip, he did say, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? How do we fix the problem? But he said, I just asked that to prove him because I already knew what was going to happen. We serve a God that's prepared. We can rest assured in that today. He said this to prove him. He himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everybody may take just a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, There's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? There is a lunch here, God. There is something here, but what is it compared to what's going on around us? Jesus said, Make the men sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Verse 12 says, When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I just want to talk to you for a few moments today on this subject, leftovers. Would you just raise your hands right now and let's ask God to be in the middle of this, in the middle of these next few moments, Lord. We need you today. God, I pray, Lord, that your will would be done in this service, God, for the rest of the remainder of the time together, your words going forth. I pray, God, that it would find good ground, God, that you would find purpose in this service today for somebody, that they could hear your word and hear your voice and respond in like manner, God. We thank you today for your touch and your presence. And in advance, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated today. Look at your neighbor and say, Leftovers. How many have a refrigerator right now? I want you to be honest. How many have a refrigerator in your house, in your kitchen, that has leftovers in it right now? We all living in the same world. Especially this time of year. You know, I can remember distinctly not liking leftovers growing up. Just didn't, you know, it's like we had it one time. Why do we have to have it subsequent times? Can't we have something different? Or we would ask, you know, after a church service or after being out in town, can we go out to eat? And no, we have, my dad's favorite phrase was, we have food at home. Can I tell you, that's my favorite phrase now too. We have food at home. There's food in the cupboard and there's plenty of food in the fridge. But yeah, we ate that. Now there are some things that are different. Some things are better with age. Like, so my wife lately, we've been making zuppa, the soup that you get at Olive Garden with bacon and sausage and potatoes. Oh, yeah. That gets better with a couple days age on it. I don't know if it's the cheese or if it's the bacon fat that saturates everything. I don't know what it is. It's good. I can appreciate that. But most of the time, things just aren't better when they're recooked. I'm thankful for air fryers. They're making a lot of leftovers better. But it's still not the same as when it's right out of the oven or right off the stove. You know, even when you go out to eat and you take something home with you, it's never as good at home as it was at the restaurant. It's just not the same, right? Now, you can get good use out of leftovers. My grandmother she loved leftovers. Graham and anybody in her family will attest, she would take whatever was left on her plate and whatever was left on yours. If you went to a restaurant that had butter in the dish and jelly in the dish, she would take that too. You'd go to her refrigerator and open it up, and it would look like a condiment selection from every restaurant she'd been to in the last 4 weeks. But she just, you can live on left. Her dogs ate so many good leftovers. What was the name? Lady? Was it Lady? No, Bootsy. Well, Lady was first, right? The black one. I've got some witnesses in the crowd. And then Bootsy. Bootsy had, she was not made to be as large as she was. She had no structure to support what she had become because of my grandmother's leftovers, you know, because she, and she would tell you there was no qualms about it. Well, Bootsy will eat that. I'll take that home. Bootsy will eat that. So you can make it on leftovers, but we don't usually like to. I'd much rather, sometimes you open the fridge and you see that right there behind you and you think, pizza sounds good. Maybe I'll just order one of those. This time of year, we always have leftovers after get-togethers and Thanksgiving, and I preached about that too. It's all right to grill a little turkey up in the frying pan, but even after a day of that, I'm ready to move on. Let's get to something else. We don't necessarily love leftovers, but there's a spiritual premise here that I want to bring out from this story, from the basis of this text today about leftovers. There's three things about leftovers today from a spiritual connotation that I would just want to leave with you today that I believe God has spoke to my heart. The first thing is today, God cares about what's left. He cares about what's left. In this story, in this situation, you got to think about it. God, the disciples at that time had left with Jesus and they went up into a mountain and it was about Passover time. And the Bible says that a great group of people, company of people began to make their way to Jesus. And he looked at his disciples and happened to look right at Philip. I don't know if he was the one who was the purveyor of food, but he looked at him and said, listen, Philip, he said, what are we going to do to get food for these people? See, we're not the only people that like to fellowship with church and food. All right, I talked to somebody the other day. That's just our culture. We like to, if we have church, we need to have something to eat too. And so Jesus is looking at Philip and he said, there's people coming. I'm going to teach them. What are we going to feed them? You know, it's the potluck of the Old New Testament, potluck dinner. And Philip looks at him and says, I don't know. He said, we don't have very much money. And what we do have is even if we had 200 penny worth, we can't buy enough for everybody to have even just a little bite. And there's no store around. Where are we going to get what we need? And we know the story. This is a Sunday school favorite where he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes from the lad, the Bible says, and he breaks it and he prays and blesses it and he begins to hand out to the disciples and they begin to hand out to the people that are sitting down and they eat basically all that they want. It's an all-you-can-eat buffet, it sounds like to me. And when they get done, everybody's full. There's nobody asking for another round of food. And Jesus says, listen, he could have just said, this is a great day, a great miracle. We blessed all these people. Now we can just dismiss them and we can go about our business. But he said, no, I want you to understand something. I care about what's left. I care about the miracle and I care about what we just accomplished here, but I also care about what's left. And so disciples, I want you to go and gather up everything that remains, he says in verse number 12. Gather up the fragments so that nothing be lost. He cares about what's left. I think sometimes we worry about what, when we come to a point of reconciliation with God and we don't have a whole lot to bring, I'm just here to tell you, he cares about what you do have. He cares about what's left. After everything has transpired, after everything that's happened, after everything's been consumed, if there's just a little bit left, he cares about what's left. Amos chapter number 3 talks about a shepherd reaching into the mouth of a lion and pulling out 2 legs and an ear. Most people would say, don't even bother. There's no reason to even care about that. The fragments that are there. And the shepherd says, you know what? I see a lot of issue going on in this life and there are just fragments that remain, but I care about what's left. It bothers me. I have compassion on what's left. And so I'll stop into that lion's mouth and get those 2 legs and a piece of an ear because I care about what's left. I've just come to tell somebody today, it doesn't matter what you have. If you've got anything left, he cares about it. If you've spent everything and all you've got is a few little meager pieces left, that's all he needs because he cares about what is left. The second thing is this. Not only does he care about what's left, he can use what's left. This misconception that if I come to God and I've got nothing to bring but these few pieces, there's nothing He can do for me. There's nothing I can do for Him. I'm just here to encourage somebody today. God will and can use what is left in your life. He'll use it. Well, I don't have enough. It doesn't matter what you have. He will use what you've got left. In the story here in 1 Kings chapter 17, and I won't belabor the story too much here, but there's a widow and a son. The prophet has been kept alive by ravens at the brook, and the brook dries up. And the Bible says that God sent him to this next town over, and he said, I've appointed a widow woman there to help sustain you. And so he gets to the gates of the city, and the widow woman is there, and he's asked her, first of all, for a drink of water. And it was something that she had access to, so she had no qualms. She says, sure, let me get you a drink of water. But as she was on her way to get that, he reaches back and says, hey, listen, while you're on your way to get water, will you bring me a little bit of bread? Well, that was a problem because there wasn't much left. And she looks back at the prophet and she said, listen, I'm happy to give you water. I've got access to water, but I can't give you any bread because I don't have hardly anything left in my house. In fact, she said, before you came, I was getting ready to take what I do have and make a little cake for my son and myself, and we were going to eat it, and then we were going to die because we don't have anything left. All I have, she tells the prophet, is a handful of meal and a little oil in the cruse. That's all I've got. I don't have a cabinet full of Chef Boyardee even, cans. I don't have anything. I've just got this little handful of meal, and I've got oil in the bottom of the cruse. It's just enough for me and my son. I don't have anything. I don't have enough to help you and do what you've asked me to do. But the prophet looks at her, and I don't know that I would have the wherewithal to ask this, but he looks at her and he says, that's fine. I understand you're short a little bit, but why don't you make something for me first? That's pretty bold. I know you're starving and I know you're anticipating not eating again, but if you'll make something for me first, God will bless it. And I don't know if I would have had the faith of the widow woman, but she does. She goes back and takes that little handful of meal and she takes that little oil that's in the bottom of the cruse and she makes a little cake for the prophet. And the Bible tells us, Scripture tells us that until that drought was over, that meal did not ever run out. That oil did not ever run out. And here, listen, I don't find in Scripture that we find the meal filled all the way up to the top and the oil filled all the way to the top of the cruse. All I find is that it said it stayed. It didn't go any lower. She just, every morning she went back, there was a little bit more meal and there was a little bit more oil. I'm here to tell you, God can use what's left. It doesn't matter how low it looks. It doesn't matter how insignificant it looks. If you've got something to hand to God, He can use it. He can sustain you with what you have left if you'll put it in His hands. He will make a way for you with what you have left if you'll allow Him to use what's in your hand. I've just got a little handful of meal. Why don't you give it to Him? Let Him make something out of it today. He cares about what's left. It moves Him to compassion when there's just a few fragments that remain, and He can use what is left in your life. 2 Kings chapter 4, we find a woman who her wife was one of the sons of the prophets, and he had passed away. And so she comes to the prophet Elisha and she says, listen, you know what my husband did for you. My husband was a hard worker. He was obedient and he was a servant and now he's dead. And now I've got creditors coming to my door and asking for my sons for repayment of the debt that I can't pay. Because in those times it was legal under Mosaic law, a creditor could come and put somebody and take them as a hired servant or an indentured servant until the debt was paid. So she goes to the prophet and says, I need help. They're going to take my boys. You know what he did. He served the Lord. He served you. And now what am I going to do? And the prophet said, well, what do you have? She said, I don't have anything left but just a little bit of oil. God can use what's left. She said, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and borrow vessels, not a few. That's what Scripture says. I want you to go and borrow vessels, not a few. She doesn't know what's going on. She has no clue. All she knows is all I have in my house is oil. That tells me she's gone through everything else. She sold everything that she can sell. She's found everything that was of value, and she's down to just this little bit of oil. That's all she's got. So when he tells her to go borrow some vessels from the neighbors, he said, I don't want you to borrow just a couple. You need to borrow lots of vessels. And the scripture will tell us later on that every vessel she brought into her house, as she began to pour out of her oil into that vessel, that oil stayed. It kept going until there were no more vessels left. That tells me the only thing stopping what God wants to do in your life is the availability of a vessel. The only thing stopping God, it doesn't matter how little you have to start with, God can bless you immensely if you have faith enough to borrow some more vessels. If you have faith enough to reach out and say, listen, I just need to borrow some vessels. I know somebody that can fill it. Do you have oil to put in it? No, I've got no oil to put in it. I've only got one oil vessel and it's full. I don't have anything. Why are you borrowing vessels? Because the prophet told me to. God can take and use what's left. If you will be obedient and by faith listen to the word of God, he's got something in store for your life. Go borrow some vessels. Tomorrow, you don't have anything to put in the vessels. Why borrow them? Maybe her neighbors looked at her like she was crazy. Why are you borrowing? I know, I've been to your house. You got nothing to put in these vessels. The prophet told me to do it. Why are you trying to live for God? You don't even have enough purpose to throw into that vessel. You don't have any ministry to put in that vessel. You're out of everything. You don't deserve anything else. Why are you putting something in here that you don't have any availability? Because the prophet told me to do it. I'm talking to somebody here today that feels you're out of everything. You've gone through, you've expended some things in your life, and you feel like you're down to just a little bit of oil. And when the word of God goes forth and encourages you to go forward and look for tomorrow and look for promise and look for future, you look back at the word of God and you say, all I've got is just a little bit of oil. I've got nothing to even put it in. I'm here to encourage you today. God will use what is left. I don't care what you're down to today. If you're down to anything, God is up to something. If you've got anything to put in his hand, God will bless it and he will multiply it and he will use what's left, but you've got to give it to him. You've got to say, all right, I give you access. I don't understand this. I don't see how this is going to work. It makes no sense to me. But if your word says to do it, I will do it at your word. God cares about what's left. He will use. It's useful to him. What you have is useful to him if you give it to him. And finally, number three, God will restore what's left. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 9, story of David. After David assumes the throne and he's the king, he looks at one of his advisors one day and he says, is there anybody left from the lineage of Saul? Is there anybody left? Anybody left? Is there? Because they had all run. That's normal in that transition of power for everybody to get out of town because that new king is going to come in and wipe out the lineage because they don't want any threat to their throne. But he looks at that advisor and he said, is there anybody? Is there anything or anybody left of that lineage of Saul? And so they begin to do a search. And the only thing that they come up with is a man called Mephibosheth, who was lame on both of his feet because in a hurry to get out the door when that transition of power took place, a nurse had dropped him and he became lame on his feet. And now he's in a place called Lodabar, way out in the middle of the wilderness where nobody wants to be. And that's where he's at. And they come knocking on his door and say, hey, the king wants to know if you'll come see him. He begins to look around and said, I don't have anything. I can't go to the king. Look at me. Look at me. I have nothing to present to a king. That's okay. He wants you to come. Because here's the situation. David was not in it to destroy. David was in it to restore. God is not interested in your story to destroy you for your shortcomings. God is not looking down the path of your past and saying, there's something else wrong, and there's something else wrong, and here's something else you did wrong, and let me spell out how terrible you are, and there's punishment. God is looking down the path of your past to say, I want to restore. I want to put back what has already been taken. I want to restore what was already there or once was. I want to restore some things. And so when Mephibosheth gets to the king's house, he doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know if he's going to die. He doesn't know if he's going to be in trouble. He doesn't know what to expect. And David looks at him and says, Mephibosheth, I want to restore everything that once belonged to your grandfather. I want to give you back all the land. I want to give you back all the servants. I want to give you back all the holdings and the social standing. I want, and he said, I'm going to give all that back to you, but I don't even need it to support you. I'm going to put you at my table. I'm going to, every time I eat, I want Mephibosheth to be under my table. And at that time, he was crippled, and a cripple was always seen as somebody less than. And it was something that was a reminder of who he was and what he had gone through. And God didn't heal him of that crippledness, but he certainly did cover him at the king's table. David said, I want to restore. I want to restore. I want to give back what has been taken from you. King's table, land, finances. He was in Lodabar with nothing, in nowhere. Some as a result of himself and some as a result of others. But God cares about what's left. He will use what's left and he will restore what is left. Hear me today, somebody. I'm not asking you this morning what you've lost. I'm asking, what do you have left? I'm not asking today for what you've done. I don't want to know. I don't need to know your past. I don't need to know your mistakes. I don't need to know what you've expended on this life. I don't need to know what you've lost out for. I don't need to know any of those things, and God doesn't either. All he says is, do you have anything left? Well, yeah, all I've got left is this piece of an ear and two legs. This lamb is pretty well gone. I'll take that. All I've got left is some broken dreams and promises, and I've got a ministry that wasn't fully fulfilled. I've got all. I don't have anything pretty to give you. I don't have anything to put a bow on. Listen, when they would go to a king, normally they would bring something extravagant. The best that they could get, they would wrap it up and make it look as nice as they could because they wanted to present it to a king. Mephibosheth said, I've got nothing. And David says, that's what I need. What you got? Just bring it. Listen, I'm talking to somebody here today that has battled with bringing something to God because you feel you don't have enough to bring. That has struggled in a relationship and a walk with God because you feel you've got nothing to bring to his house. That you can bring nothing into his presence. And the reality is there's nothing that we could bring that would be acceptable anyways. There's no sacrifice that we could make that would be enough to cover everything that we've accomplished in our flesh. But all he's asking today is, what's left? I don't want anything to be lost. Let's go gather up some remains. Is there anything in your life today that it might look a little bit like it's been torn apart? It might look a little bit like it's been run over. It might look a little bit like you've made some wrong choices and you didn't make the right turn. But if you've got anything left in your hand, that lady said, I've just got a little handful of meal. It used to be a big barrel. I used to have a lot. I had a lot of potential. I had a lot of things to give. I had talent and ability, and I had a lot of purpose. But now I'm down to just this little handful of meal. And the prophet's looking at her saying, it doesn't matter. Is there anything in there? Because that's what God can use. 12 baskets were left. He only started with one. 5 loaves, 2 fishes in the hand of a little boy. Even after everybody was full, there was more left at the end than there ever was at the beginning. When God gets done with what's left, there will always be more at that point than there ever was when you brought it to him initially. When God gets done with what he wants to do in your life, the math won't make sense. The recipe doesn't figure out because what I brought to the table is nowhere near what he produced with what I brought. What we bring to the table is not a direct line to what's coming out at the end of the oven. God's saying, just bring me what you've got. I'll prepare something that's beautiful and I'll prepare something that's amazing with your life, but you've got to bring me what you've got. Don't be embarrassed that it's just a handful of meal. Don't be worried that you might have wasted something along the way. Don't be afraid that you've messed up. So just bring me what you've got and let me produce something out of your life that's beautiful. There's a type of pottery. I know this has been shared before, but what a beautiful example of what I'm talking about today. There's a type of pottery in Japan. Brother Randy, you can help me. Called kintsugi. And what it contains is just simply this. It's taking broken pieces and putting it back together, But the difference is when they put it back together, they don't try to hide the scars. They don't try to fit it back together that where it looks seamless. They don't try to match the paint just right to where you would never know. Like when you take your car into the shop, you want it back knowing that it looks brand new. You don't want to see the problems with it. But in this type of pottery, the object is different. Because what they put that back together with is gold. It highlights the scars. When you take a look at a piece of this type of pottery, there's no question that it's been broken. There is no question that it somehow has been dropped before, because there's fragments. It's not a whole piece all by itself. There's small pieces that have been put back together, and they're highlighted because they're done so with gold. So when you look at it, you can tell there's fragments, but there's value in those fragments. When you look at it, it doesn't look like one seamless piece, but it's worth more in this state than it ever was when it was whole by itself. Because if you could ever learn this lesson today, that when things are broken in your life, when things have fallen apart, when things don't look like they should, if you bring that to Him, He puts value in the scars. That piece of pottery is worth many times more recreated in this fashion than it was when somebody purchased it at a store. Many times more than what it was when it was presented as a gift. And when God gets done with your life, putting pieces back together of what you had left, there's more value in that piece of pottery than there ever was when it had its full potential on its own. There's value. Irreplaceable value. Come on, I'm talking to somebody. He feels so unworthy to be in the presence of God, who longed for nothing more than to be in a right relationship with Him, to be able to lift your hands without that fear of condemnation, to wonder what it's like to walk before Him with purpose and with direction, but you're so worried about all you've got left is just this little bit in your hand. I've lost so much along the way. Surely there's not anything here He could use. But the reality is, even if you've brought Him everything you had at the very beginning, it's not worth as much as what He can do with what you've got left. There's value in the scars. There's value in the brokenness. If that handful of bread and fish had not been broken, it could not have been passed out. If it stayed intact in that little boy's lunch bag, it would have fed one person. But because it was allowed to be broken and then blessed and then passed out, it affected 5,000 men plus women and children. Is it God's will that you're broken? No, I'm not saying that it's God's will that you made those wrong choices. I'm not saying it's God's will that you didn't follow through on what He asked you to do. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, if you can ever come to yourself like the prodigal son did in the pig pen, was it the Father's will that he suffer like he did? No. Was it the Father's will that he run out of money and live in a filthy place in his life? No. But when he returned, there was so much value. We reap harvest from that story today. Hear me today, somebody. It doesn't matter what you have. It certainly doesn't matter how much you've got. But if there's anything left in your hand, if you could just put it into His, He's got a way of adding to what we give to Him and producing something beautiful. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It does not matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many times you failed. It doesn't matter how many times you've tried and tripped and fallen. I'm telling you today, if you're willing to just put something back into His hand, He'll produce something out of it. Why? Because He cares about what's left. He will use what is left, and He will absolutely restore. Mephibosheth, when you're at that table, you don't look like anything like you did in Lodabar. And nobody can see that your legs are broken. Nobody can see that somebody dropped you. Nobody can see that you were done wrong, that you were hurt along the way. Nobody can. All they know is that you're at the king's table, and every provision that's given to the king is given to you. Would you stand with me this morning? I know in the physical, when we open up that refrigerator door and all we see is leftover, there's just a sinking feeling. Oh, that's, I'm not really interested in that. But when God walks into a room like this morning and he opens up the door and he just sees a bunch of leftovers, it doesn't bother him. He can make something beautiful. He can make something incredible out of what's left over in our lives. But you've got to let him today. You've got to be willing to say, okay, God, I don't have much. But this is all I've got. If there's anything you can do with this, feel free. Job chapter 42 and verse 12. Job went through a lot of pain. Job went through a lot of stress, a lot of heartache. But Scripture tells us that the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. At the end of his life, he had more than what he ever started with. And if you will give God, Job was at the end. Job had nothing. Everything was taken from him. All he had was his walk with God. And he even lost that almost when his wife said, just curse God and die. What do you got left, Job? Not much. Everything is gone. My wife doesn't even want me to serve God. I've got boils and health problems and everybody's turning against me. What do you have? Not much. But I'm going to give it back to him. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You may not have much in your hand today. Everybody might be telling you to give up, throw in the towel. Why even try? But if you can say, listen, I don't have to understand why I'm here and not there. I don't have to understand why I'm in this position and not that position. But if I'm just going to give God my trust one more time. Maybe that's all you have today. I'm out of everything else, God, but I trust you. And if you'll place that in his hand, he will produce something in your life that's greater than you even had at the beginning of everything. Before you lost anything, he can restore today. As they begin to sing this morning, I wonder if there's somebody here today that would be willing to give him what you have. Struggles, problems, life, just getting in the way, temptation, failures, doubts, fears. They've robbed you of some things. But if you've got anything left in your hands today, even if it's just a simple assurance of trusting God in the middle of nothing, God can take it today because he loves what's left. I invite you to come today. I invite you to find a place to pray today. I invite you to lift your hands and say, God, let me give you what I have. I've tried everything on my own. I've tried to fix it by myself. I've tried to make things meet in the middle. I've tried to make amends. I've tried to fix it, and nothing is working, God. So what I've got left after I've expended all my energy and time, I'm just going to give to you. And if you can make something out of it, I'm willing to let you. If you can fix anything in my life, God, I'm going to let you do it because I can't do it on my own. Come on, somebody today, would you respond to the moving of the Holy Ghost just drawing you here today? Come on, somebody, would you reach out to him and give him everything that you've got? It doesn't matter how much it is. It's just a matter of willingness to give it to him. Come on, somebody, let's just lift up our hands all over this place. If you're not responding today, would you just lift your hands and begin to pray for those who are all over this place today? God, there's miracles in this house today. There's testimonies of what God has done. There's stories of what you've restored in this room today. God, we know that you're able to do it. Lord, speak into hearts right now. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. God, let your will be moved in this house today. God, we move over our will and we trust you this morning. I give you all these things, God, that I've got. Brokenness and pain. Let your will be done in my life today. There's always going to be pushback against bringing something like that. I'm think Think back to that little boy who brought his lunch. I don't know if that was solicited, or maybe he heard about the problem and said, hey, I've got this. But there would be many in that crowd that just say, oh, well, that's not nearly going to be enough. You don't have enough. There's no way that's not going to help. And there will be influences in your life spiritually that when you feel that impulse to go to God and say, okay, I'm ready to make this right, you're going to have voices that say, no, you don't have nearly enough. You can't make it. You can't pay for it. You don't have anything that he could use. That's when you've got to say, God, I'm reliant totally on you because I don't have enough. I don't have what the cost would be. I'm just giving you what I do have. The Bible says that he can, Romans 8:28, he can work all things together for good. It doesn't matter if it's a life that feels wasted by some or opportunities that feel like they've been tossed to the... It doesn't matter what you've got left. He can make something out of it if you trust him this morning. Would you just lift your hands with me one more time? Lord, I feel the tug of your spirit today. Lord, I know that there are people here this morning that are battling this in their mind. God, that are struggling against what you're asking them to do. That they don't feel like they're worthy. They don't feel like they've got a right to step into a walk with you. God, I pray that you would strengthen them right now. God, give them the courage and the strength to bring out what they do have, as much maybe as it's hurtful, as much as maybe it's a reminder of their past, and just say, God, here is everything. This is all I've got left. And then trust you, Lord, to make the rest of the difference. We trust you this morning. That's what this is. This is a walk of trust. Because we don't have what we need. Your mercy is the only way that we can succeed in a walk with you. Encourage somebody today. Strengthen. Let somebody feel your love today that perhaps hasn't felt it in a while. Let them feel your presence, God, where they have felt dry for a long time. That you're right here. You're as close as the mention of your name. Because you care about what's left. You care about what's left. Hallelujah. Lord, I love you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.